First announcement, only announcement actually. So yesterday we had the trunk or treat, and it was a good turnout. We had a lot of fun. All the kids, they ran around, got too much candy, and we sent them home. So it was a lot of fun. We just want to say thank you to Jim and Sam. They did a really good job. They put everything together. And just want to say thank you to them. Obviously, they did a really good job, and for giving all the kids, providing all the stuffed animals and prizes, and that was really cool. And also, thank you for, if you did a trunk, thank you so much. We appreciate you. So, all right.
All right.
Thank you, Caleb. All right, so before we go into the sermon, let's see. Okay, chili baked goods also, 5 p.m. So come tonight and eat chili and eat baked goods. It's so super fun at 5 o'clock. Very excited for that. Bring your best chili or bake. And also bring something for the chili bar. We're going to have a chili bar because we don't want to just eat chili. We want to eat lots of fixings with chili. So bring something for that. All right. We're going to have our ushers. If our ushers will come on up and... if you put up our declaration, we started doing this because, listen, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Words are very important, and what we believe about our finances is very important. And so, Brother Bill, you want to pray for us?
Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day and for this opportunity to worship you. Thank you for this opportunity to just express our gratitude for the love you've shown us. Help us, Lord, to honor you, to worship you, and to praise you in all that we do and in our giving. And, Lord, we just pray you bless this offering and be used where you need it to be used. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. All right. So this is my act of worship. I bring my tithes and offerings in faith. My God is Jehovah Jireh. He is my provider. I have purposed in my heart to give cheerfully as a faithful steward in what God has entrusted to me. I believe that my tithes and offerings will be used to change lives and to further his kingdom. Therefore, I trust and believe in his provision and overflow according to his word. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Well, listen, this has been a crazy week, y'all. Wednesday night, I started with some kind of nasty stomach thing that I haven't experienced since like college, so like over 30 years ago. And then Rick started with something yesterday morning. Anyway, but we know, listen, life brings germs, unfortunately. It's just a part of life. And I am thankful that God walks with us through wherever we're going to, wherever we go and whatever we go through. So I'm going to preach about two things that the Lord Jesus, the Bible says, was full of. Okay? And because these things were such a huge part of who he was and how he lived, they're a part of our church. And this series this month is I Love My Church. Now, we should not just love our church, Hidden Treasures Church, but we should love God's church, which is the body of Jesus worldwide. Amen? And so the church is important because Jesus started it. The church is not man's idea. You go way back to the New Testament, and Jesus said, "You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it." It was God's idea that we would gather together, that we would worship him together. You see that in the Old Testament, that we would study his word and learn and fellowship and all of those things. So, John 1:14, if you want to stand. These are the two things we find in this verse that Jesus came and that prayerfully, and I believe it is, but continually that our church would be full of because it's what Jesus was full of. It says, "And the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." All right, you can be seated. So if you put up my first slide, Joe. So full of grace and truth. That's just something that is, we're going to talk about those two words and what those words mean, because I want to show you a couple of definitions. If you go to the next slide, Grace, this is Strong's dictionary, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. How many of you have noticed you can be in church for like any length of time, and there are all these words that we all just throw around, but if somebody asks you, like one of your kids or somebody says, well, what does that mean? You go, well, I mean, you know, it means grace. Like, it's just grace. Like, and so we're going to look at some. This is what it means according to Strong's, which is the Greek, which the New Testament was originally written in. This is the dictionary of that. Grace, the divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life, including gratitude. Okay, now this is a powerful quote by John Bevere. The next slide. It says, grace is God's empowerment that gives us the ability to go beyond our natural ability. So because I walk in grace, I don't walk in my own power. I don't just strive to try to be a good Christian and be nice to people and give my money and, you know, come to church. I don't strive in my own ability. Jesus said in John 15 that he is the vine and we're the branches. So the branch doesn't, apart from itself, just try to be a good branch. It is connected to the vine. And any fruit that comes on the branch is because of that branch's connection to the vine. And the same is true with us as God's people. And so God's empowerment that gives us the ability. Joyce Meyer says God's grace is God's undeserved favor. If you go to the next slide. God's undeserved favor that provides forgiveness and mercy when we sin, but is also his power that enables us to do whatever we need to do in life. The things that God has called us to do, he offers his grace to do it. It is a partnership where we invite God into our life to enable us to do these things. God doesn't say, okay, you came up and got saved. You maybe came to the altar or maybe at your home or maybe with a friend. You surrendered your life to Jesus. Okay, show me how good you are at this now. And I'm going to watch and I'm going to grade you from heaven and I'm going to check off the boxes as to whether. And some people feel like that. And then they fail the first time, you know, because we all fail a lot when it comes to Christianity. And they go, well, see, I'm a failure at Christianity. And they look at other people who are walking in grace, in God's divine empowerment, and they go, see, those people know how to do this. I am not cut from the Christian cloth. You know, I cannot do these things. The enemy lies to people. He lies to all of us. Or maybe you've been serving God a long time, and sometimes when we've been walking with God for a long time, the problem is we learn how to do Christianity. Like, I know I'm supposed to come to church. I know I'm supposed to read my Bible. I know I'm supposed to, like, whatever, be nice or pay my tithes or pay my taxes or, you know, whatever it is that I'm supposed to do. And so we learn to do all of these things, but somewhere along the line, we stop relying on God's empowerment, and it becomes about my ability. And then I get too busy. And I get too busy doing things, whether it's going to work and then going to church and then being with my family, and I lose the connection between God. And it's just like me and my husband. Rick and I have been married 28 years. We, as most of you know, have 7 children. In 1 hour yesterday, I had talked to all 7 of them. We understand how life gets busy, okay? But we maintain a connection because we purpose to maintain a connection with each other. Because if we don't, we can just be living together and doing things but not connecting with each other. And we do that with God. In order to live, understanding that God is the one who enables me to live this life, I need to keep my eyes on his power and his ability. But if I forget that, and I'm like, well, I said a prayer, or I read my Bible last week, you know, or I'm a pretty nice person. I've been in the church a long time. You know, people, this happens all the time. People get disconnected from grace. And any of us, apart from God's ability, we cannot live the Christian life apart from God. I cannot do the things that God has called me to do apart from him. And so it doesn't mean, it just means that in order for me to walk in supernatural power that God has offered for me, I need to remember and be focused in and walk with his power. Now, that doesn't mean, I would love to say that all day, every day, I was thinking about God. And that I just, while I was changing diapers, and sometimes I do better than others. Sometimes I'm like, thank you, Lord, that while I'm changing this diaper, that you see me here and that you're right now. Or thank you, Lord, while I'm picking up this trash or whatever I'm doing. And sometimes I do better than others. But God's grace is offered to us freely. It's there whether we choose to recognize it or not. Because when I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus, he offered me his grace. And so Jesus was full of grace and truth. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest anyone should boast." See, very often in Christianity, we forget that grace is a gift. And we think that it's something that we work for. That salvation is something. Now, I should live a Christian life. I should live by God's word and by what he tells me to do. Because my life is surrendered to him. But I'm not earning my Christianity because I come to church. I come to church because God, whom I love, because God's word tells me to, so I do that. But I'm not earning that. But when we forget that, we forget that it's based on grace. Ephesians, I want to read this same verse in the New Living. It says, "God saved you by his grace when you believed." And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. So grace is what we receive from God. Now, why is it so important? Is the reason is because it's God's grace that enables us to live God's way. Okay, I'm going to skip over this because I already said that part. All right. So when my parents came here, back when Janine and I's parents, the four of us, came here in 1989, I was 13 years old. And when I was in eighth grade and had to move away from all my friends, whom I love, eighth grade was a very good year, I'm going to tell you. I was in high school, on the bottom of the totem pole in high school, but it was a very good year for me. So when I had to move away from those friends in that place, God's grace, his empowerment was with me. Because God was calling our family here. When I was a senior in high school and dealing with insecurity, because most teenagers do, and I was definitely no exception, God's grace was with me. And last December, and even this year, when I'm grieving over the loss of my mom, God's grace is with me. And so his grace enables me to do the things my life was created for. One of the visions that God put on our heart is that we would discover God's purpose for our lives. Because God has a purpose when he created us. Our first and most important purpose is to have a relationship with the Creator. Because that's where we learn our purpose, is through relationship with him. It's first and foremost about relationship with him. Ephesians 2:10, which is right after the verses that it's a gift of God, says, "For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago." And as we all do the things that God has created us to do, the cool thing is we get to come together as believers and do them together. And then it's encouraging and it's exciting. And so I want to take a couple of minutes here and recognize a few people. So this is the last Sunday in October. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. I wanted to mention, we have multiple people here at Hidden Treasures that hold credentials. So they have studied and done the work and the mentoring and all of the things that is required in order to be a member of the clergy. And so I want to ask those people, I want to recognize them. So the first, which my sister did not want me to recognize her, but too bad. So Janine Kapsakalian, please stand. Now, Janine, as you know, yes, she is a founding member. Yay. Okay, our worship pastor, our leader of Inner Healing Ministry, which you can meet with her about that for Inner Healing. We all need that. She serves as pastor here faithfully. She prays and leads and counsels, leads a Bible study, encourages, visits, and teaches, and many other things that go unnoticed. I am truly grateful for her. Okay, Christine Triano, stand up, sister. She has a calling to minister and work with those with special needs, adults specifically, and has ministered through Special Touch Ministry for almost 10 years now. God has put that on her heart back in 2014, and God has been doing things in her. She works at the Methodist Home for Women, but also ministers in multiple ways here at the church, including leading a Bible study. Philip and Tiffany, if you put up the next slide. I told Tiffany I was going to post a picture because she is in at the National Girls Ministries. But Philip Salsavi, please stand. He's in the back. So Philip and Tiffany, they are missionaries with the Assemblies of God, and they actually travel around Georgia and do trainings for other churches and teachings and how to set systems and policies and finances in order in other churches in the district. Philip was very helpful in setting up some of our current systems, and God brought them at just the right time when God was leading us to do some new things here. And he's actually right now working on a Master's of Divinity. Tiffany has a heart for teaching and girls' ministries. And as I said, she's at the National Girls Ministries training right now. And that's why she isn't here today. But they both are members of the clergy. And then David Lawson, if you stand, Brother Dave. David holds credentials with the International Pentecostal Holiness Church and served as a pastor for 12 years. And he currently serves by doing services in the RV parks and also in the nursing home with his family. He in intercessory prayer here at the church and by ministering on the base while he's working. His family is doing the BGMC class back in the back, so they would normally be sitting on the row with him, but they're back serving. So thank you. So I just wanted to recognize all of these people because these people, like many of you, are seeking to live in God's grace and do his will every day. And so we and you, we all make up the church that I love, that God has put us in. And so Jesus came to give us grace to walk in what he has called us to walk in. Now, Jesus also came as the truth to bring truth. If you put up that next slide, John chapter 8, verse 31 and 32 says, "Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, 'If you abide in my word, you are disciples, my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.'" The more of the truth that we live in, the more freedom we will experience. The more that we say no to the truth, the more that we will live in bondage. Sin causes us to think that we're free, but it always causes us to become slaves to it. John chapter 8, 34, right after these verses, it says, "Jesus answered them." So this is Jesus' words. And he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." I need a volunteer. Anybody? Okay, come on, John. I was going to say, if not, I'll call Caleb because he'll always help me out. Okay, so John is just going to be an example. Now, there is, I'm just using this as a cord. So come stand right over here for me, John. Okay. How many of you have heard the saying, sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay? Have you guys ever heard that? Listen, this is what happens. This is why that happens, is sin is made up of lies. And so the enemy tells us all these lies, and then by lying to us, he wraps us up in the cord of our sin. And so it's dangerous to say yes to sin. But the enemy usually couches it in something small, like, oh, that's not that big of a deal. You're just going to do it this one time. Everybody does it, blah, blah, blah. If we allow sin, we think that we're the ones in control. But sin always wraps us up, and it binds us up. Thank you, sir. Let me untie you. Let me untie you before you leave. Now, the truth is what allows us to walk in freedom. So what Jesus does when he comes into our lives is many times he begins to open our eyes to areas of sin in our lives, which is hard. Like, it makes you feel guilty, and all of a sudden, things that you felt were fine before, now all of a sudden you feel guilty about. Why? Because God is pointing out areas of sin in our lives, because sin always has bondage. If I refuse to forgive, it will not only color that relationship, but it will begin to affect my other relationships. Even if I'm not honest about it and I don't realize it. If I choose to be selfish, many, many people think I am in control of my own life. I do what I want. Listen, if I choose selfishness, selfishness is a hungry beast. It is never satisfied. There will always be something that you don't have, some way that you are unhappy, somebody who hasn't done something that they should have done. It is a terrible way to live. And so God begins to deal with this sin in our life because he says that will keep you in bondage. And so when we understand truth is what brings freedom. Jesus doesn't just bring truth, he is truth. John 14:6 says, Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So truth is one of those things that people think in the world today is shifting and moving. I mean, it's like this, people keep deciding and changing what is truth right now. And it's so dangerous because truth isn't like that. After Jesus was arrested and had already been up all night and beaten by the soldiers, he had the same conversation with Pilate that people are having with him today. In John 18:37, Pilate asked Jesus a question. So are you a king? Because listen, if I'm going to surrender my life to somebody, I need to recognize who he is. And I need to accept Jesus, not just as a good guy that lived. A lot of people will accept Jesus. Oh, yeah, he was a good guy that came and did some miracles and, you know, he loved everybody. Okay, but that doesn't affect really my life. But if he is my king and I surrender my life to him, then what he says has to have credence. It has to change the way that I live. So Pilate said to him, so you are a king. Jesus responded, you say I am a king. Actually, I was born and came into the world to testify to the truth. All who love the truth recognize that what I say is true. And Pilate's response is just like people today. What is truth? Because if I don't want to connect my life with what's just been said, then I just go, well, what is truth? Who decides that what you say is true? And that's what's happening in the world today. And it's bringing so much confusion. Jesus came to bring freedom and understanding and wisdom. And the enemy does exactly the opposite. He creates confusion. But the biggest way that he creates confusion is by causing everything to be questioned. There is nothing solid to stand on for so many people because everything is brought into question. And if everything is brought into question, then there's nothing solid. Jesus was not afraid to lay it out like it is. I mean, he didn't make excuses for what he said. He didn't bait and switch. He didn't say, this is going to be easy. You're going to get along with everybody. Everybody's going to agree with you. You're not ever going to have any problems. He didn't do that. He told people the truth and then let them choose whether or not they were going to walk with him and surrender to him. And so Pilate's response, what is truth? Truth comes from Jesus. And one of the things that I am grateful to be around all of you here at Hidden Treasures is because I believe we are seeking to embrace truth together. Now we're all learning. And we might disagree on some minor things. And the truth is, that's okay. Because if it's not going to change whether or not you make it to heaven or not, we can leave that. We can disagree on some things. Rick and I love each other and are married for 28 years. We still disagree on some things. You know? I mean, it's okay. But we are embracing truth together. That means we seek to be honest with each other and help each other grow. But another thing is we are embracing grace. And because of that, we are seeking to walk in more of the supernatural. Grace, if you go back to the first definition of grace. Grace is God's divine reflection in the life. The divine influence upon the heart and its reflection in the life. And so I want to ask us today, am I living with the divine reflection in my life? Do you know that you can live every day, whether you're doing something that's mundane or you're doing something that doesn't seem spiritual? This grace was meant to be carried into Walmart and Dollar General and into our homes and onto the base where some of you work and into the schools where a lot of you go to school. Grace is not one of those things that's one of those words that's just supposed to hang out at church. And we pick up church back when we sing the song Amazing Grace. It is meant to be lived every day, all day. We need it. We need him. But he is a God of amazing grace. And God doesn't stop being gracious. But many times as Christians, what happens is because the enemy cannot stop God from being God. It's not, I try to remind people, and you guys probably all know this, but sometimes people start to picture like God and Satan as equals good and evil. Satan was created by God. He cannot stop God from being God. It is not God versus Satan, but what Satan does is he tries to cloud God's goodness with circumstances. And it works for a lot of us a lot of the times. Like, you know, we forget who God is and what he has enabled us to accomplish and what he has spoken to us and how much the cross means because, man, I do not feel well today. Or all of these people are getting on my nerves because maybe I didn't sleep enough and I haven't had any coffee. And so right now, you know, I don't see any of God's grace at work in my life. You know, listen, I mean, this thing is meant to be like lived out in the everyday. So I want to challenge you as people of Hidden Treasures that you love grace, that every day you seek to say, okay, I surrendered my life to the Lord Jesus. If you have not done that, we're going to give you an opportunity in a few minutes. But if you have surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus, you have God's divine power to be at work in your life. So you might say to me, well, I don't feel like I have God's divine power. Listen, one thing I'm going to tell you a secret about Christianity. You cannot wait until you feel something to walk in it. Because if you wait until you feel the divine empowerment of God, you will not walk in his power. This thing is received by faith. When I recognize who God is, when I recognize I was created by an almighty God who also created the stars and the sun, that same God walks with me into the middle school and into work and at home with my children and, you know, into Walmart to get groceries. That same God walks with me wherever I go. He said he would never leave or forsake me. So if I can learn to live, God, your presence, your divine reflection in my life, I'm telling you, the world will be changed. Because as we pray, God, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. That's done through us. And so I just want to invite you, as Joe plays a song for the altar call, what are you doing today? How are you living in God's grace and truth? Are you living with the reality that his power is available to you? If God has begun opening your eyes, we talked in Sunday school about some very real things that people face, pornography, very real things that are faced in life today. When God begins to reveal things in our life that need to be dealt with, he also offers his divine power. But we need to lean on him and we need to lean on each other because we're made to do this thing together. And so if you need prayer, we just want to make ourselves available to pray with you, not because we have it all together or in any way better than you, but just because we're supposed to bear one another's burdens. We're supposed to ask each other to pray for things. And so I want to invite you, if you need prayer for anything, if the Lord is dealing with you and you feel lost, God wants to save you. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. If you need prayer for anything else, we just want to make ourselves available for that.